Okay, so we have a guest this week that I'm really excited to have on, really excited to have a conversation with. I know Pat is, and just from talking to him over the phone, seems like our guest, two-time back-to-back Stanley Cup champion, current goalie for the Ottawa Senators from Thunder Bay, Ontario, 8 hours from where we're recording right here in Winnipeg, Matt Murray. Welcome to the Sling the Biscuit podcast, episode 63.
Thanks for coming on.
Looking forward to chatting with you guys today.
Yeah, we're looking forward to it, man. It's a privilege and it's a pleasure to have you on. I was curious, I guess the first thing to ask is, anytime we have a guest on, try to do like a little bit of research to be a little bit educated. I know we usually shoot first and ask questions later, but I was looking and there's like nothing online of you for like podcast appearances, media appearances. Like you search Matt Murray, like nothing comes up except for like the Matt Murray from UMass Amherst, which we'll get into later. But you don't really do much media, do you?
No, I mean, you know, I get a lot of media during the season, so I guess I get my fix then. But no, I haven't done too many podcasts. I did one a couple of years ago, I think, with some guys from Vaughan. Backgrounds were in Vaughan gear. But other than that, never really been approached to do it, to be honest. So I'm glad we were able to connect, and hopefully we can talk a little shop here and have some fun.
Yeah, I'm kind of shocked at that. People aren't interested to get you on maybe on a podcast. But like you said before we started recording, we talked about earlier in the week, is that you're a hard guy to get a hold of. You're very hard to approach and hard to reach.
Yeah, sometimes by design. But I haven't I haven't been on social media much at all in the last couple of years. I got rid of most of them, actually deleted all my accounts for the most part. And, I think I still have an Instagram, but I never go on there. So, if you don't have my number, it's definitely hard to get a hold of me, for sure.
Why is that? Do you, were you just sick of it, or do you find it's a distraction or just kind of negative?
Kind of all of the above, I guess I would say. Plus now I got two young kids, a lot of things that I can do to keep me busy that, take up a lot of time and energy. So honestly, I don't have time to do it much anymore. And I definitely noticed that, it definitely can be a big distraction. I know early in my career, I would definitely, go on little stretches where I would need to, take it right off, especially like in the playoffs. You almost do like a blackout in the playoffs. And I honestly just liked it. I just feel better, when you're not looking at your phone all day and you're not, you're interacting in real life. So, I started doing it a couple of years ago, and I just like the way I feel staying off of it. So I've kind of kept it going.
You find it more like you're almost like more present in the moment. Like you put the phone away, you disconnect from the outside world online, and like the moment you're in, whether it's, you're out to dinner with the missus, you're spending time with, friends, you're really in that moment enjoying it. And it's a good memory as opposed to just, let's take a picture, let's take a video, let's make a memory like that actually lasts in the mind as opposed to on a camera roll.
Yeah, I would agree with that 100%. I think that's very well said. I try to, stay in the moment as much as possible, especially when I'm, socializing out to dinner, whatever the case may be. I just think, that's how we're meant to communicate. So I find a lot of stuff can get lost in translation too online. And, it's just not a great way to communicate, and definitely a bit of a waste of time too, in my opinion. So I just prefer to, like I said, enjoy real life. And I got a lot going on in my world right now to keep me busy. So I don't really need, much else going on.
Before I ask the next question, I just want to point out, ignore those sunglasses. I'm having bad allergies and my eyes are just watering every 5 minutes. So I'm going to wear these, but I was curious of your opinion on just like hockey, I guess, media in general. Like you said, you get a lot of it in the season. Like, can that be a lot to deal with while you're trying to, focus on your game? Like maybe you have a bad game and then all of a sudden the media is all over you. And whether it's an interview or social media, like, can that be a lot to deal with? And how do you deal with that?
It's a difficult way to communicate, I think. And it's difficult to get your point across and to really, make your point when they're basically just looking for sound bites. And, one one sentence quotes. So it can be challenging for sure, but it's part of the game. It's a skill that you need to develop, I think. And I've definitely been been caught saying the wrong thing in the past, I'm sure. Maybe been taken advantage of a couple of times by some reporters or whatever the case may be, but it's definitely a skill. I think I'm a little better at it now, but I wouldn't say I'm very good at it in general.
Yeah, and not to name names or point the finger or anything, but do you feel sometimes that maybe, obviously, everybody's trying to pay their bills, right? Your job to pay the bills is to stop the puck. The media's job is to try to find anything that you say, write a headline, like you said, that one sentence, that title that they click on to pay the bills, sell some ads, and you're trying so hard not to give them anything because you say one thing, oh, maybe the D-man lost the guy backdoor. It's not my fault, right? I had the first two saves. But then they take that, they run that through the paper. Now you're the bad guy. They're trying to paint you as the villain, and now you're coming into the GM's office, and it's like, fuck. Why did I say that? Like, I'll just give you, you know what? We're just trying to make the saves, trying to keep us in the game. Just give them the straight BS so that they can't run your name through the paper.
Yeah, there's a bit of that for sure. I think, you know, you're never going to throw a guy under the bus or anything like that. So a lot of times, you know, reporters will kind of try to bait you, and that's part of their job. You know, they're a huge part in, I think, kind of bolstering interest around the game too. So the fact that they may, you know, kind of sensationalize some things, or maybe, you know, use a lot of, you know, hyperbole in some instances. I think that's good for the game. That's part of what the media does. You just got to be aware of it. You know, don't take it personally. If you do say something that they take out of context, sometimes you just gotta kind of let it go. And most of the time, especially if it has to do with a teammate, you know, I guarantee that your teammates are never gonna think that you willingly threw a guy under the bus, because nobody does that. So yeah, it's kind of a fine line though. You gotta walk. You want to engage with the media and with the fans, but it's a fine line. Like I said, it's a unique skill, I guess, that definitely continues to develop, and it takes a lot of effort for sure.
Yeah, and speaking of effort, you have an awesome girl, an awesome wife, Christina. I believe I'm that's correct.
Yeah, Christina. Yeah.
Yeah, big shout out to her. I just want to say to back things up a bit. I remember when you won the second cup in Nashville. I remember she would, she's like your number one fan. Like, it's almost, I'm almost kind of jealous that, like, I got my woman. She's awesome, great supporter. But it's like, man, you got an awesome woman, an awesome mother, an awesome wife in your life who's supporting you through everything, through thick and thin. And also shout out to her, because she's the one who put us in touch and put us in contact. And this is how this podcast is happening. So big shout out to her. But speaking of shoutouts, every single week we do Viewers of the Week segments. So if you're watching the video version on YouTube, you're on Apple, you're on Spotify, you're on Google, we give shoutouts to anybody listening. And it's really simple. We got a quick little list of Viewers of the Week. If you don't mind, we'll run through them real quick.
Yeah.
All right. So a couple of Viewers of the Week. Actually, the first one I wanted to pencil in was, I believe he's your boy, is Jordan Bennington. He actually liked one of the clips, the podcast that I posted the other day. That was kind of cool when I saw that. But we got Chris. Chris says, never played hockey a single day in my life, but found the podcast and love it. Shout out to you, Chris. We got Francis McDonald, recently found the podcast. We got Jack Hudek. We got Francesco. We got Irfan. We got Philip from Sweden, says, I love milk. Shout out to you, buddy. I wonder if that's oat milk or dairy milk. We got Steve, crushed 6 episodes this week. We got Alex, listened since episode 13. Rich from Edmonton, wants to see Pat go play in Europe, maybe coming up in the future. We got Jesper Rudin from Sweden. We got Caleb Dune. We got Tristan Peters, Maya Summers. We got Jackson Robinson, and he's got a mullet. He's got a mullet. Loving it, the Billy Ray look. We got Francis McDonald. He found the podcast. Podcast helped him stay positive on his weight loss journey. Lost 80 pounds. So shout out to you, my friend. We have Abby Wayne. She's a girl. She says, I listen to the podcast. Just want to say that there are plenty of women out there who do. And she's been listening since April and found the podcast on TikTok. So shout out to you, Abby. Happy to have you on board. And our final viewer of the week, we've got Max from the Yukon. Says he works heavy equipment machinery driving through the Yukon. So I'm assuming on a job site. So if you want to be viewer of the week, you just send me a DM, send Pat a DM, And we'll pencil you in for viewer of the week. Appreciate the support as always. Speaking of which, I'm curious, what are you driving these days, Matt? Because I know just over text we're talking about you're kind of splitting time between Muskoka, Ottawa. You're big kind of like lake life fishing kind of guy. I'm curious what you're driving. I had a rough idea what you're driving, but I'm curious.
Yeah, right now I got the Northern Boy souped up F-150. You know, kind of get it all done truck. I like to go, you know, off-roading sometimes too. I actually just splurged and bought myself a new Can-Am as well. So I enjoy the, you know, the outdoor life, and I like going off-roading, fishing, even just, you know, doing donuts in the mud. You know, that's the Northern Boy side of me. So, yeah, right now I got big F-150 with a little lift and 37-inch tires, so the thing will go pretty much anywhere.
Trev, did you guess that?
I said to Pat right before we started recording, I said, something tells me he drives an F-150 fully specced out. Did I not say that?
But you did. You were pumped.
Right, F-150. My heart said Dodge Ram 1500 or GMC Denali. I thought a Denali or a Ram, but the F-150, I knew it. I don't have a truck. I used to have a truck. It's a long story. I got a bike now.
Oh yeah, I've always been a Ford guy. My first car that I bought, I basically spent my entire first signing bonus of my entry level on a Ford Raptor. I think it was a 2014. And that was always my dream truck growing up. So the second I got my hands on a couple bucks, I wasted it all on a Ford Raptor. But yeah, stuck with Ford for the most part. That new TRX is making it difficult to not switch over. But right now I got the Platinum F-150, but it's all decked out and off-road ready. So it's awesome. pretty custom. So I don't think I'll be getting rid of it anytime soon.
Nice. So you're pretty passionate about cars, trucks. Like you said, you have it all like decked out. Is that a passion of yours?
It's something I enjoy for sure. Yeah, I've always liked trucks. Growing up in Thunder Bay, it's kind of one of those places where there's more trucks and cars on the road, and the nicest cars in the city are, you know, the most souped up trucks. So yeah, I kind of always had an inclination towards those since I was young. My very first truck, or my very first car actually, was a 2002 Dodge Ram. It was like forest green. It's pretty funny looking truck looking back at this point. But yeah, I've always had a truck. My wife drives a big Yukon too, which I love that car too. So
nice.
Yeah, I've always been interested in trucks that are, you know, bigger and more capable. So I would say it's a little bit of a passion, sure.
I'm curious, when you get the signing bonus, if I may ask, how much was the signing bonus for that Ford Raptor?
Well, my first, like my entry level signing bonus was 92.5, I think. That's the standard. That's the standard entry level signing bonus. So like 92,000, and I spent basically all of it.
I'm picturing you go down to the Thunder Bay dealership, you walk on the lot. Serves like a coffee, Coke Zero, water. Yeah, sure, take a black coffee, however you take it. He's, you know, you're looking through the trucks. I like this one. I like the Ram. Or no, actually, no. I like the Raptor. You know, let's go with the Raptor. How much miles does it get per gallon? It gets, I don't know, what, 10? I want less. I want 7. Give me 7. No, give me 6. Give me 6 miles to the gallon.
No, I mean, it was a little bit different than that, but it's kind of similar. It was actually, I was in Wilkes-Barre at the time, so Pittsburgh's farm team. So it was my first year pro, so I would have been 20, and I needed a car, so I had to get something. And obviously I had a, you know, an affinity for souped up trucks, so it took me a while to find it. Actually, I had to look around a bunch of dealerships and I had to really seek it out. So obviously it was not a good decision financially, but you know, I had that truck for a few years and absolutely loved it, and then ended up trading it in. So yeah, I'm happy at least I got to say that I was able to buy myself, you know, my dream vehicle growing up.
That's awesome. And did you sell the Raptor after you got the F-150?
So I had a Range Rover in between too, but I didn't like the Range Rover at all. Kind of everything would break on it. The windshield would always break. And they charge you a fortune to replace those windshields because it's like some fancy windshield or something from England. It drove really nice. It was like a sports car. It was the size of an SUV, but everything would break and just became too much of a hassle. And I missed having a truck, so gave it back, and that's when I got the F-150 Platinum.
Awesome. But I know we're not a trucking podcast, but I'm curious. F-150 Lightning, the Tesla Cybertruck. What do you think? If I had the money, I'd probably buy a Cybertruck, but I don't have, you know, a quarter just sitting in the bank. But man, those look like some nice trucks.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I would have a hard time picking between those two. I would probably go off the wall if you're talking electric. I would go off the wall and get the new Hummer. I think that one seems like the best electric truck that I've seen. Best looking one too, I think. But I'm not out electric yet. My lifestyle doesn't really support electric vehicles just yet, with the range and stuff like that. I would need a lot more range before I dove into one of those.
Yeah, I'm curious. You're out in Muskoka. There's not many, I guess, electric charging stations or super centers out there.
No, not that I know of. I'm not too sure, but you know, for right now, I'm sticking with old reliable gasoline engine. So, you know, getting out into the woods and going off-roading and stuff like that too, I get a little worried running out of battery or something like that. I don't know what would happen there, but just a little bit more reliable.
You know what I saw on TikTok the other day was it was kind of along those lines, and maybe my phone was listening to me talk about like Teslas and gas prices and stuff, and it started recommending me this stuff. But it was a guy, I guess he's living kind of out in the woods, not Muskoka, but kind of like the similar type of area, and he's got a Tesla. And he was talking about how there's no supercharging centers, all that kind of stuff. So what he does, in the back of the trunk, he's got a gas-powered generator with a plug-in, and he plugs the generator into the charging outlet. So he pours gas into the gas generator, and it generates electricity for the car when he's out in the woods.
There you go. Yeah, he's finding a way to beat the system, I guess. Kind of defeats the purpose of it at the end of the day. I don't know. Maybe as they get more and more popular, everybody's going to have a port in their garage or at every grocery store or whatever the case may be. So just not quite there yet, but it's heading that way.
When I think of the generators, I think of, you know who Larry Entyser is? Old Larry Entyser?
No, I don't recognize the name.
He's a guy who was viral on YouTube a couple of years ago. He's got the mullet, the jean jacket, the denim, and he's the guy on the sled. He's like, just gonna send it. Good day. Gonna be a good day. You know that guy?
Okay, yeah, I remember that. I didn't know his name though.
Yeah, that's the kind of guy who's firing up the generator and plugging into the Tesla. Apparently that guy's, well, at the time he was only 21, so I guess he's 27 now, but that, I swear to God, that guy looks 40. Anyway, we got some questions. As always, we got viewer submitted questions. We got some awesome questions this week, and some more stuff. Obviously not able to sort through all the questions because there's a lot submitted, but how do you feel about some questions, Matt?
Yeah, let's do it, man.
Let's rip away. First off, this was very popular. I want to wish you a happy belated birthday. May 25th was your birthday. You were 20. Hold on. I'm 25, turning 26. So you're 27. You're 28 now. Happy 28th birthday.
Thank you, man. Appreciate it.
No problem. There we go. Anything special you did for your birthday, by the way?
Went out fishing, played some golf, and then just hung out with the family. Blew out the candles with my daughter. So that's... That's the most special thing you can do, I think, is just, you know, get to hang out and celebrate with the young kids. It's pretty special.
Yeah, it's awesome. How old are the kids, by the way?
So my daughter is 17 months, and my son is almost 4 months. So a year and a half and pretty newborn.
Congrats. And the dogs, how old are they? Are they older than the kids?
Yeah, we've had them for a while. So my oldest dog, Beckham, he'd be turning 6 this year, and Leo is turning 5 this year.
And some big boys, like we were talking about before the podcast, 150 or 180, 160 pounds, some big, big, big boys.
Oh yeah. Yeah. They're big fellas for sure.
Yeah. Pat, do you have any questions, before we want to get into the viewer questions, the viewer Q&A?
No, but it did just make me think as you were describing like how special it was blowing out the candle with your daughter, you said, right?
Yeah.
Like obviously me and Trav here, we don't have kids yet, but like you're now someone who's had like the peak of hockey, like you've lifted the Stanley Cup, and then now you've had two kids. I'm kind of curious, like, is it a greater feeling to like look at your and hold your kid for the first time than it was than like lifting the Stanley Cup?
Yeah, for sure. It's hard to describe to somebody who hasn't had kids. I don't know if you guys plan on having kids or not, but it's literally like the most rewarding thing I think you can do, I think, as a person, as a man. Just having a little one to be responsible for and to take care of, and you know, watching them grow up, even, you know, a year and a half doesn't seem like a lot of time, but you know, my daughter, she's starting to turn into a real person now, and starting to, you know, she's running around, and yeah, it's incredible. Nothing will ever compare to that. Raising the cup is great, don't get me wrong, but it pales in comparison to holding my daughter. Was my firstborn, and holding her for the first time was that's like the meaning of life right there, in my opinion. So nothing will ever really compare to that.
That's super cool.
My dad tells me that same thing all the time. He always says, son, you'll never understand until you have a kid. When you have a kid, you'll understand, but until then, you're going to be my son, and I'm going to tell you how it is.
Yeah, no, and I was the exact same way before I had kids. I was like, yeah, okay, you know, we'll see. But really, it is something incredibly special. And literally, like I said, I think it's the most important, most rewarding thing you can do as a man. So, yeah, it's been a really real blessing for me, and now having my son here too is obviously going to be really special as well. He's still not really doing a whole lot. He basically just lays around and eats and sleeps, and that's about it. So, but I think, you know, watching them grow up will be the best thing that anybody can hope for.
Are they going to be hockey players in the future?
I guess we'll see. Yeah. I mean, I'm definitely not going to, I'm not going to pressure them into anything. I'm not going to tell them no. I'm just what they're naturally interested in. You know, my daughter seems like she's going to be pretty athletic. She loves, you know, throwing the tennis ball around, and she's already kind of running at her age, which is pretty cool. So yeah, I'm not going to force anything on them, but I'd be happy if they do, for sure.
Love it.
One of the first questions we actually had was kind of on that topic. I know like the media has talked a lot about like your relationship with your dad. I'm curious, is there like a memory that stands out, like growing up as a kid, like obviously like your dad takes you skating for the first time. Like I'm sure Pat remembers. I remember the first time my dad took me skating. Like there's so many awesome memories. Like as you get older, you're like, man, like that was really cool. Like, is there any specific memories that stand out in your mind that were like really awesome to share with your dad?
Yeah, I think the biggest one was probably, we had this tiny little sidewalk in front of our house growing up, and that was kind of the only spot that we could, you know, shoot the ball around or whatever, because we run, you know, a bit of a busy street. So when I was young, he didn't want me out on the street. So we just used this tiny little sidewalk, and he would just, you know, rip tennis balls at me. And even back then, I always wanted to be a goalie. So that's kind of what I remember most. Just him sitting, you know, 20 feet away, ripping the tennis ball at me, and probably lighting me up for the most part, because I was like, I don't know, 5, 6 years old at the time. And yeah, that's definitely the first and probably the best memory that I have.
That's awesome, too. Like that kind of bonding time, like especially with your dad, early ages, like that's the kind of stuff, like you mentioned, like hoisting the cups, grape, like the family stuff is really what, like at the end of the day, that's what sticks out in your mind. You remember it, you cherish it, and that's like those are the moments that, like you said, life is built for.
For sure, yeah. And don't get me wrong, like in terms of being a hockey player, lifting the Stanley Cup is that's as close as you're going to get in terms of hockey. But like I said, I just think, you know, as a human, as a man, as a person, there's nothing more important that you can do in your life than to have kids. So it really, there's nothing that you can really compare it to.
Yeah. And that's awesome. Speaking of that, I'm curious, we actually had, this question was really popular. We talked a little bit about it over the phone the other day, but Matt Murray, UMass Amherst, curious if you've ever been confused with him.
I don't think so. I'm not sure. I think did he come to was he at Pittsburgh's training camp one time? He
Yes, he
was.
did.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he might have been like a rookie camp or something like that. I don't know if I ever I don't remember if I ever met him or skated with him. That would have been kind of funny, but no, I don't think that's ever happened, no.
I feel like it's the other way around only. Like, he gets confused. People think he might be you, which actually happened on our podcast. We had him on the podcast, and people were disappointed. They clicked it, and they were like, wow, I thought this was the NHL goalie, like, pissed at us. Different Matt Murray. Like, our bad, our bad.
That's funny. Well, it's a
Yeah.
weird coincidence that another goal at the exact same name, but I guess there's two Sebastian Ajos too, right? Is that the one?
Is that real? Is that true?
Damn. I feel like that's not as common of a name.
I think there's a Sebastian Ajo obviously on Carolina, and there was another one, I'm pretty sure. You might have to fact check me on that, but I'm almost positive that there was another Sebastian Ajo when I played for Jersey or something like that. I can't remember.
I do remember the two Nicklas Backstroms, obviously for Washington, and then the goalie in Minnesota, the Finnish guy from Minnesota back in probably like 10 years ago.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I guess it happens once in a while.
Yeah, we talked about on the podcast when other your Matt Murray counterparts showed up for the podcast. We talked about yeah, people thought that we were bringing you on, and they asked a bunch of questions to him on your behalf, and he actually gave some pretty creative answers, kind of stepping into your shoes. But yeah, a lot of people were disappointed. I got a lot of messages. What like what is this? This isn't the Matt Murray I came from. Like, sorry, like this is what we can get. We're just starting to be a podcast here.
That's funny. That might have been how I heard about you guys. I think I might have sent me something about Matt Murray being on a podcast. She was like, "Did you do a podcast?" I was like, "No, I don't think I did."
That's probably how it works, Trev.
Yeah, actually, and if you don't want to, you don't have to comment on this. But so we did the Q&A, and he gave some awesome, like, hilarious answers. And one of the questions was, you switched from Vaughn, you're a Vaughn goalie, and then you end up going to Lefebvre. What was the reason? And I think his answer was, they didn't pay me enough. I want the big bucks rolling in. And also talking about the cup wins. Which was more special to you, the first cup or the second cup? And I think he said, well, they say one's weak, two's a streak, so let's go, baby. Go Pens.
He did well. He was creative.
Very creative. An Alberta boy too. Alberta boy. He probably drives a Ram 1500 as well, to be honest, now that I think about it.
There you go. We got a lot in common.
You know, it'd be funny, not to put a jinx on it or anything, but starting goalie tonight, Matt Murray, being backed up by Matt Murray. People in the crowd that maybe aren't in tune would be like, what? Somebody made a mistake. No, there, Matt Murray is backing up Matt Murray. Starting is Matt Murray.
Hopefully.
It happened at training camp there a few years ago. That would have been funny, but I don't think I ever ended up on the ice, though.
Would have been
It's like
cool.
you seen Blades of Glory at the movie with Will Ferrell.
Yeah, a long time ago, I've seen it, yeah.
Yeah, Chaz Michael Michaels. Chaz Michael Michaels is sex on ice, a sex devouring hell tornado, or a sex tornado spun into the hellfires of Motown. Yeah, Pat and I were just quoting that before we started. We're here at the Grublet Fairies, and we're living in the here and
Oh,
now.
yes, we were. It's classic.
What a great movie. Michaels, you drunk? No, this ought to do it. Great movie. Anyway, back to a couple more Q&A questions. There was actually a couple comments actually about Mike Smith, and I know we talked about it over text, but you train with Mike Smith, right? And John Elkin, shout out John Elkin, the OG goalie coach. You want to talk a little bit about maybe like your relationship with Mike Smith and John Elkin kind of coming in there?
Yeah, I mean, both guys are, I think, hugely instrumental in my development and, you know, the way that I play. Probably like 10 years old, maybe 11, I started going to his camps, and I ended up, he does these like skills competitions at the end of the week on Friday, and there's a shootout, like an elimination shootout for the goalies, and I ended up winning, I think, when I was 11. And he kind of took an interest and started coaching me, and I started doing one-on-ones with him all the way up. And then he was my goalie coach with the Greyhounds, the Sioux Greyhounds, for a year as well. And you know, I still skate with him every summer to this day. You know, he's he's become, a really good friend, and even, back then he was a special person for me. And Mike Smith too. I skated with Mike Smith. Johnny was coaching the two of us kind of on the ice at the same time, and that was very early in my career. And I was able to learn a lot from him, watch him, pick his brain a little bit. He would always answer my questions. I'm sure I got pretty annoying at certain points, being a young kid who just wanted to make it. And I'm sure I was talking his ear off, but he was always super helpful. And even now, I can still text Smitty anytime, and he's always up for giving me some advice. And obviously, he's been a lot in his career, and he's been so successful, and he's still playing and playing as well as he did this year at his age. I think he's 40 now, I think, right? And that's amazing. Speaks to his athleticism and his dedication and how well he takes care of himself. And that's something that I want to do as well. So yeah, two guys that were very instrumental for me in my development, and two guys that I'm obviously thankful that I got the chance to get to know and to work with.
One thing that I was kind of surprised by when you switched from Vaughn to True, obviously, like knowing that skate with Elkin, relationship with Mer or with Mike Smith, I thought for sure you would have switched to a 580 glove instead of a 600. I thought for sure the Mike Smith effect would have came in.
Yeah, I don't really know what made me pick that one. I think I tried all the options that they had, and that one kind of just felt the most natural. I'm honestly not a huge gearhead, to be honest. I go by feel, basically. So when you start rhyming off numbers, I honestly don't even know. Like, I couldn't tell you what model that I wear, if I'm being totally honest with you. I just go by feel. And a lot of it is customized too. I like to, tweak the little things around. So it's probably not all that similar to the standard model. Yeah, I just go by kind of what I feel and what I like. And the True stuff I just found was just so stable and very well balanced. Had a great seal. It's obviously very light. Everything's light nowadays. But yeah, I just really like the feel of it. Yeah, but I'm not a huge gearhead, if I'm being totally honest.
It's kind of like the sword of Excalibur. Like you pull out the sword, you're the chosen one, or you're not. You know or you don't know.
Yeah, definitely. I know pretty quickly, what I'm gonna like or not like. With sticks for me was a tough one, because I love the Vaughn before the composite ones were being used. Like when I was in the American League, and I think my first year in the NHL, I was using those Vaughn foam core. So it was all wood with obviously a foam core, and I love those sticks. Like I could rip the puck, I could I could put the puck in the air to like the far hash mark, like almost end to end in the air. For whatever reason, the stick just fit my release perfectly or something. And then they stopped making them. And so then I was scrambling to find what stick I was going to use next, and kind of trying everything. Nothing that I really liked. Warrior was kind of the closest one. So I switched to the Warrior. But the problem nowadays is if you want a stiffer stick, you got to add more weight to it. And so, I basically I just like the lightest and the stiffest one that I can find, and now the new Bauer that I'm using right now is like the perfect twig. So finally found the stick that I like. But I can be a little bit picky at times, but again, it's all based on feel and how it feels in my hand.
That's the Mach or that's the ultrasonic stick right now?
See, I honestly don't even know. I don't know like the names or the model numbers. It's last year's model. I'm trying the new one, I think, this summer. The new one, I think, is the Mach. Like, it looks like a player stick in the middle of that.
Yeah, they've had the cutout for a couple of years. They change it every year, though. They add like more into the cutout. Like I remember at first, it was probably like a good 18 inches of just like cut out stick, and now it's almost like the whole stick is a player stick with a little bit of a like a reinforced face, like the little paddle piece. It's kind of crazy, like some of the technology. Like you think even 10 years ago, like you said, foam cores were everywhere, nobody wanted composites were for players, and now it's everything is composite for goalie sticks, and just the technology is incredible. 600 grams for a stick, like it's insane.
Yeah, I know, and that's what I like the most about this new Bauer is it's so light, but it's like stiff as a board too, and I can, you know, I like to really lean into it when I shoot whippy. A lot of times it just like kind of flubs off the end of my stick, and I can't even get under it. So, yeah, the new Bauer is finally the, you know, the one that I've been looking for.
Pat, you know anything about goalie gear?
Not much, no, not too much. It's funny that you said you're not really a gearhead, because I feel like a lot of goalies are. I feel like the goalies are the ones that usually are super into like different types of gear, like Trav. Trav loves talking gear. But yeah, I don't know much either. I'm not super big on it.
Yeah, don't get me wrong too. I love the gear. I just don't like pay much attention to, you know, the names, and I'll try anything. Like this summer, I think I might try some new stuff too. So I'll try anything. But I'm just not, once you start rhyming off numbers and stuff like that, I'm lost.
What do you think you're going to try? Anything on the hit list for the summer?
Yeah, I'm going to try the Bauer stuff, I think. Those new skates, I don't know about those. Those ski boot looking ones, I'm going to try those out. And then I'm going to try a set of Bauer pads too. I like trying new stuff, seeing what's out there, seeing if there's little tweaks you can make here and there. You know, I think the way the game's going, you gotta find ways to inch or an extra 0.1 millisecond of speed across the net, because you know, guys are just so good now, and you know, it's not gonna slow down. So goalie's job is always gonna get harder and harder, and you know, I'm always looking for whatever way I can kind of gain that extra, even if it's just a tiny little advantage. You got to try to take advantage of it.
Actually, you know what, speaking of which, I got an idea for you. I think I should send you a set of my Traspec Pro laces. I think we should get you set up with some of those.
Hey, I'll try it, man. I don't know what it is, but I'll try it.
I'll try anything once. The basically kind of like the same kind of like a toe tie that you have right now, probably about double the length, a couple different little features on it, whatnot. But just this season, I think 20%, 25% of the SHL goalies, because I was in Sweden, I got 20, 25% of them using the Traspec Pro laces, or at least they have a set right now and they're using them over the summer. So I think you'll like it. Well, after the podcast, we'll get you dialed in and get your set sent out.
Yeah, man, I'll give it a shot. Like you said, I'll try anything once. Good for you for creating something new. I like that.
Yeah, my old lady told me that the other night. Try anything once. But, Pat, you got any questions? We got a lot of viewer questions. These ones are, like I said, we could probably go for 2 hours. We got some really unique ones.
I did, actually. I just thought of one, because you talked about how fast the game is getting now, which brought me back to a thought I had, which you've played with and against some pretty incredible players. I'm curious of who, as a goalie, from a goalie's perspective, who the best player you either played with or against is.
Well, I'm very biased because I got to play with Sidney Crosby. So to me, nobody's ever going to, you know, hold a candle to Sid. Just because I know him personally, and not just because of how good of a player he is, but you know how good of a person he is, how good of a leader that he is. He's a guy that I, you know, try to emulate, try to be like him in a lot of ways. He's just kind of the whole package. So I'm biased. Sid is always going to be kind of number one in my book. But only played against him once. So in terms of the other guys that I played against, like by far Ovechkin's one-timer is still the hardest save to make. It just moves like no other shot that you're ever going to see. It like it'll kind of wobble midair sometimes. It'll dip. Sometimes it'll start out going high glove and it takes like a hook and goes low blocker. He's got that huge toe curve on his stick, so
Damn.
off, kind of like a knuckle puck at the time, and sometimes it'll move, it's like a curveball. Sometimes it's almost like a changeup, and sometimes it's a fastball. It's just like it's impossible to read where it's going, and it's coming with such velocity. So yeah, that's Ovechkin is still obviously that's why he's got a
Right.
million goals, but he's still the hardest guy to stop for sure.
And he's still scoring 50 goals at, like, he's like almost 40 now, I think. He's crazy, so that's cool.
One of the best goal scorers ever, for sure.
For sure.
Dude just buries Cokes on the bench like nobody's business. Where's the Dr. Pepper he likes?
Don't know. I think he might like the flat Coke. A lot of guys do that. Like a lot of guys, when I first came into the league, the flat Coke, they somehow take the fizz out of it. And I think it's all like a placebo effect more than anything. But a lot of guys are doing that.
On the bench or?
Yeah, some guys would do it on the bench, yeah.
Damn, that's interesting.
Correct me if I'm wrong. I'm just picturing, guy on the bench as trainer. Hey, get me a, give me a Dr. Pepper. Give me a dozer. Give me a poser. Crack it open. Let it defizz for about 10 minutes, and then just start going. Whether it be Diet Coke, Coke Zero, or a Pepsi. We call Pepsis posers around here. We got Cokes. Coca-Cola is a dozer, and then we got Pepsis are the posers, or the Coca-Cola posers.
But yeah, I know. I definitely know guys used to do the flat coke. I'm pretty sure Obi used to, and maybe still does. But I think Chara did too at one point. There's a bunch of guys who used to
You a big soda guy?
that. No, I try not to, honestly. I can't. I'm getting old now, so I gotta stay away from the sugar and dial in what I'm eating now.
Did you always have a very like a strict diet, or is something you've focused on?
Not really in the past, no. I've always been the guy who can kind of eat anything and not gain any weight. Like I've just always stay the same, or sometimes even lose weight. But finally, I think that's starting to slow down a little bit, and I'm able to bulk up a little bit now when I need to. Like right now is the heaviest I've ever been. So now though, as I'm starting, I'm not old by any means, but starting to get older and just trying to dial in all that stuff. And like I said, any tiny advantage you can get out there, I think you need to take, because all that stuff makes a difference. One centimeter can make a difference between stopping the puck or not. It could come down to what you ate before the game or whatever. So I'm definitely more careful with what I eat now than I was when I was younger, for sure.
On the advice topic, there was actually a lot of guys who submitted other questions or like little sentiments that was basically along the lines of, and I'm sure you hear this a lot, is, for example, Justin wanted me to say, please tell Matt Murray that he is the guy that made me want to become a goaltender, or like there's countless other submissions like that. But like, what do you say to somebody who says like Matt Murray inspired me to become a goaltender? He made me become a goaltender, put on pads, got me interested in the game. Like, do you have any advice for like a an 8-year-old in Thunder Bay, Ontario, or maybe a 12-year-old, or even a 25-year-old in Winnipeg?
Wow. Well, first of all, I'm flattered to hear that. I had guys like that growing up too, and for me to be that for somebody else sounds pretty crazy to me. So thank you for that comment, and I really appreciate that.
And there's a lot, dude. There's probably a good like 10 like that.
That's
Yeah,
yeah,
probably
like that's cool to
like
hear.
10, 12.
That's very humbling to hear that. I appreciate you sharing that with me. That's cool. But in terms of advice, I would say just keep your eye on the prize. Things that kind of try to get in your way and impede your progress, there's always going to be bumps in the road, injuries, challenges, whatever the case may be. It's never going to be easy. Nothing is easy. Nothing worth doing is definitely never easy. So I would say just keep your eye on the prize and know what you want. I think if you have I heard this the other day. Actually, it's a cheesy quote, but let me see if I can remember it. It's like if you have the why, then you can get through any how or something like that. I butchered that, but you get my point. I think you can find your way through, through things that may seem difficult in the moment, but in the grand scheme of things, are just another bump along the road. So I guess that would be my butchered version of advice is to, find a purpose. And a man much smarter than me said that originally. So I'm sorry to whoever came up with that quote, but I just messed up.
Matt Murray motivational tour.
Yeah, I hope you guys understand the point I'm trying to make anyways, is find a, have a deeper purpose, and then, the little way won't seem so big.
Yeah, I got one, I guess one final thing to add before we kind of cap off, but and I hope this doesn't come across out of context or the wrong way, but when we first started talking maybe a couple of weeks ago, I thought for sure that with the things that you've gone through personally and on the ice as well over the last 2 or 3 years, maybe maybe not the happiest guy, but I gotta say, dude, like you have really kind of shocked me with just how friendly and positive and outgoing you are despite the adversity you faced and what you just said there about finding your purpose and kind of going after the why is it's inspiring. Whether you're a kid or you're 25-year-old me here in Winnipeg, it's inspiring.
No, well, thanks, man. That means a lot. I appreciate that. I think, yeah, again, a lot of it is just about your perspective, right? So, like I said, there's always going to be bumps along the way, especially if you have a goal as, lofty as making the NHL. That's a lofty goal. If you look at the percentages of people who make the NHL, it's very low. So, if you have a lofty goal, you got to make sure that you have a reason for that. And like I said, if you find that reason, the little shit along the way is not going to matter so much. So, that's the best advice I could give at this point.
Like it. I like it. I had one final question. This one was completely non-hockey related, but somebody wanted me to ask you, why do hot dog buns come in packs of 10? Sorry, let me try that again. Why do hot dogs come in packs of 10, but the buns only come in packs of 8? This is a scam. Thoughts?
That's a little bit out of my pay grade. I don't know that one. That's one of life's most meaningful questions right there.
Delicious or toasting delicious hot smokies or hot dogs over the grill on a fire, all 8 of them with your 10 buns or vice versa. Actually, no, you can put you have 2 hot dogs with 2 wieners in the bun. Chas Michael Michaels in Blades of Glory.
There you go. We've answered the age-old question. There you go.
There we go. See
Perfect.
this? See this? Does this look right to you? You know what I'm talking about? Chas Michael Michaels. This don't look right. Well, Pat, do you have any final questions, any closing comments before we cap off here?
No, but I appreciate you coming on. This is cool. This is it'll be a good episode for our audience. Absolutely. So I appreciate you taking the time.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys. Oh, it was fun. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, it was a privilege and it was a pleasure. I just want to remind everybody listening that new episodes every Sunday, 11 a.m. Eastern on the YouTube video version. If you're not watching already, if you're in the car, Apple, Spotify, Google, she's all out there. Also, we have a viewer special coming up for the beginning of July. So when we bring people on, if you're a viewer of the show, if you are a Patreon member, which there is a link in the description, it's $5 a month. You can pick up a mug or you get a Sling the Biscuit mug free of charge when you sign up. You're automatically entered into the viewer special episode. Otherwise, we'll have a contest coming up probably in the next 2 weeks, give or take. We have Lawson McDonald coming up next week. We have Strauss Mann, the man of Skellefteå, Sweden, and San Jose coming up the week after. And again, to Mr. Matt Murray, the OG Matt Murray, not the other Matt Murray, it is a privilege to have you on the podcast. Well, other Matt Murray as well, but specifically today having you on was awesome, dude.
Yeah, my pleasure, guys. My pleasure. Maybe we'll do it again someday.
Absolutely. And we will see you again next Sunday for the next episode of Slinging the Biscuit. Good night.